In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. We saw hints of this in last week's gospel reading, but today, on the fourth Sunday after Easter, it becomes increasingly clear that the emphasis of our scripture readings is turning from the celebration of Christ's resurrection to the anticipation of his ascension, and beyond that to Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, known as the Paraclete or the Comforter. As our Lord points out, when he, meaning the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He goes on to say, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. This is where we modern humans, and particularly we Western and especially American humans, have a tendency to interpret Christ's words in a way which departs from the historical interpretation of the church, and therefore what we can reasonably understand to be the intention of Christ himself. As the gifted Roman Catholic professor, author, and cultural critic Tony Esselin puts it, here is a quick and generally reliable rule to follow. If people have always said it, it is probably true. It is the distilled wisdom of the ages. If people have not always said it, but everyone is saying it now, it is probably a lie. It is the concentrated madness of the moment. The concentrated madness of the moment is that the Holy Spirit can lead us into new and different interpretations of the words of Holy Writ, such that things which have been believed, in the words of St. Vincent of Lerins, always, everywhere, and by all, are no longer true or valid or applicable in our modern context. That we know better than the great saints and doctors of the church, and that we can therefore set aside the teaching of the Scriptures and the Church, which make us uncomfortable or which call us to repentance. This madness finds its expression in the rejection of basic Christian beliefs held to be self-evident by earlier ages of the world. For example, the teaching that traditional Christian moral standards, such as that sexual relations are to be practiced only in the context of holy matrimony, and that the marriage bond is to be between one man and one woman, as indicated by the very nature of humanity, created male and female, and destined by our Creator to be joined together as man and woman in Christian marriage. And even that Christianity itself is the highest, purest, and truest expression of the longing for union with God, which he placed within every human being. Those who hold these teachings are following the distilled wisdom of the ages. Those who reject them and adopt beliefs such as that male and female, man and woman are cultural constructs, that gender can be fluid, that God can make mistakes and put someone in the wrong body, that men and women are interchangeable parts, cogs in a machine, nothing more sacred, more holy than units of production and consumption, whether that is of material goods or sensory experiences. Such that what Tony Esselin calls the baby-making thing is simply recreational, and if it feels good, do it. And that if a child should result, it can be dispensed with as if it were nothing more than a clump of cells. And of course, that those who seek to create God in our own image according to our own desires or to deny him entirely, those, I say, who have rejected traditional teachings and adopted such contemporary errors, rooted in the sins of lust and pride, have fallen prey to the concentrated madness of the moment. But as the very Reverend William Ralph Inge, Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, England, wrote in 1911, "He who marries the spirit of this age will be a widow in the next." And more than that, such a person may lose his chance at eternal life in the nearer presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is merciful and perceives the secrets of the heart, it is true. But we must not allow that to lure us into the temptation of presuming upon the goodness of the Lord. As it is written, "Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test." The concentrated madness of this age, what James in our epistle lesson calls all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, is a poor basis on which to pin our hopes for this world or the next. It is building our house on the sand, not on the rock, which is the Word of God, written in the Scriptures and embodied in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. So therefore, let us follow the admonition of St. James and be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let us lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The spirit of this world is not, but if we set it aside and receive with meekness that engrafted word which is able to save our souls, the spirit of truth, the comforter, the Holy Spirit of God will lead us to the Father through his Son, God's living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who livest and reignest with the Father and the same Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.